Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning as well. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you'd look with me to the book of Hebrews in chapter 12. Hebrews in chapter 12. I'm going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 3. I believe this to be one of the greatest passages of Scripture in the New Testament for New Testament Christianity. It's just a tremendous, tremendous passage of Scripture with tremendous truths that will strengthen and help us. And so Hebrews chapter 12, if you would, go ahead and stand if you're able to. Those at home, go ahead and stand and get your Bibles out and read right along with us here this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. And again, Lord God, we love you and thank you for the opportunity that you made available to us to be in church. And for those that will be able to watch via the live stream, I just pray, God, that you would just continue to meet with us in a very special way. You know the needs of each and every one. I pray, God, that you would work through the preaching and the teaching of thy word to be a help and a blessing. Pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This passage of Scripture was written, I truly believe, and most all that I know of do, that Paul was the one that God used to pen the book of Hebrews. But it was written and then preserved by God to stir believers, as we need to be stirred from time to time. But it would be used to stir believers to accomplish all that God has for us to accomplish through our physical lives. We've been given life, and we have physical life here on this earth. And with that time that we have to live, God has a purpose. Once you get saved and you become a child of God's, then you have been quickened or made alive unto God, and God has a purpose for your existence on planet Earth. And he wants you to use the life that he has given to you, the time that he has given to you, to accomplish all that he has for us to accomplish. And God does have much for each one of us to accomplish. Now, the example that we have in this is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about that, and Jesus knew that. We find in John in chapter 12, verse 49, let me just read it. He said, "The Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak." See, Jesus, even though he was God the Son, he wanted us to understand that as he had this physical life, he would live in this earth some 33 years. As he had this physical life, he come with the commandments of God, knowing what God would have him to say and knowing what God would have him to do. In John chapter 4 and verse 34, he said this. He says, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." He knew that he had the work that God sent him to do. And as long as he was living on this earth, he was wanting to accomplish everything that God had for him to accomplish. Now again, he is an example for us. Everything that God has for us to accomplish, and he has many things for us to accomplish. And no matter what we're going through, no matter what it is that we're facing, we must continue to look to God to live the Christian life as God would have us to live the Christian life, and it's going to impact the world more than what we realize. Jesus knew that his life would impact the world. He knew that every word that he would speak would impact the world. And so he wanted us to see that God sent him. He came as God, manifest in the flesh, to say every word that God wanted him to say. And to do all the work that God wanted him to do. And many times you'll find in the life of Christ that he said, as it was taught, as it was said, as the prophets had prepared, this was to fulfill. He came to fulfill that which was prophesied. And so he was here to do the work of the Father, and he wanted to finish the work. He did not want to die prematurely. He wanted to live the physical life that God had him to live on this planet Earth to be able to accomplish and to finish the work. In another passage of Scripture, in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, God, after the baptism of the Lord, he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." If you will, Jesus wanted to please the Father, and he would mention that from time to time. He would give parables concerning being able to face God and him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Yeah. So in Hebrews in chapter 12, in verse 1, he said, "And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Jesus knew that he had much set before him. He wanted to run that race. He wanted to finish that race. That word "set" is to put, to place, or to fix. So there's a race, and a race is a metaphor. Jesus used many metaphors in his teaching and his preaching. A metaphor is simply a figure of speech that makes an implied comparison. And so the race, people would understand what a race would be, and he's comparing this race to what every believer is to do with the life that God's given to him. Live that life with a purpose, and to be able to run that race with the life that God's given to you until that finish line is crossed. So Paul not only would he use the race here, this metaphor race, but also back in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 9, which gives us a little bit more insight into the race that he's talking about as well, in the comparison to the Christian life that we have to live. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, let me read to you. It says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all?" Everyone that's there is running the same race in that dispensation of time. "But one receiveth the prize." There's going to be someone that's going to win that race. And so he says, with this in mind, he's the question mark. He says, "So run that ye may obtain." Every one of you, run that race that is set before you that you might finish first, if you will. Cross that finish line. "And every man that striveth for the mastery," everyone that prepares himself for that race, "is temperate in all things." That means he's disciplined. He prepared for the race. "Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." There's purpose in the race that I'm running. There's purpose in my preparation. "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway," or if you will, disqualified from finishing the race. As a born-again believer, if you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, your race is set. Our race has been set before us. God's the one that designed it. He's the one that placed the boundaries. He's the one that instructs us and how and where to run. He's the one that determines the finish line. In every generation, there's been a different set of circumstances. Now, here in the book of Hebrews, before in chapter 11, it talks about all the Old Testament saints, all the Old Testament believers in the coming of the Messiah. And they had their race to run. First generation Christianity had their race to run. Second generation Christianity had their race to run. In every generation, now we have the same guidelines, we have the same Bible, but in every generation, there's been a different set of circumstances. But the race that is set before us in your lifetime, this 21st century, has been set. It's set with conditions according to the free will and the choices of humanity. Every generation has these circumstances by which they have to face, and they have this race that God has set before them, and God in control of the circumstances, and they're set with conditions. As we look back to Israel, it's very easy as we study the example of the nation of Israel. They would be given a set of instructions, and God would tell them, this is what my will is for your life. And if you do this, this is what you can expect. But if you fail to do this and you do that, you do something different than what my instructions are, then this is what will happen to you. Different conditions, if you will, different set with conditions according to the free will. God has always allowed us a choice. Man has been created with a free will. And we must choose to do what God would have us to do. We must make choices in our lives. God is not going to force us to get saved. God is not going to force us to run as He would have us to run. He's not going to force you to run to finish. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, God, the Bible says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Amen. God has never changed His mind about anything. It's always been determined by God what will happen with our choices. I trust you're getting a hold of that, because that's so important. It's not that God changes His mind. It's that God says, you have a free will. If you do this, it's already been determined, I'm going to do this. Or if you don't do this and you do that, it's already been determined, I'm going to do this. It's not God changes His mind. It is God's conditions by which He will work in our lives based on the decisions that we make. That was Israel. That was first century Christianity. That's 21st century Christianity. God changes not. And the most important decision, because no one is predestined to go to a place of hell. No one has been predestined to be saved. The plan of salvation has been predestined. What will send a person to a devil's hell has been predestined. But you have a free will. Every one of us has a choice to make as we run the race or we live the life that we have to live. 1 John chapter 5, I do want you to go there with me. 1 John chapter 5, because can I tell you, it starts with the decision of what will we do with Jesus Christ? God sent Jesus. And Jesus paid the sin debt of humanity. But he did it so that you would have the choice to make, to believe in him and to receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, the Bible says, and this is the record, God has recorded this for us to read and study and to know. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. That has been set in stone. That will never, never change. He's given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So if you have the Son, then you have this eternal life. Basically, is what he's saying verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, set. That has been predetermined. Eternal security has been predetermined by God, that if you get saved, you become a child of God's, and he will never disown you as a child of God's. But you have to make the choice. No one is born saved. If you were born saved, then Jesus died in vain. If there's any other way to get to heaven, then Jesus died in vain. My Lord did not die in vain. He did not shed his blood on Calvary's cross in vain. It was something that was necessary for humanity to be saved. Yeah. So he that hath the Son hath life. That's set. It's also set. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. What life is he talking about? He just mentioned that eternal life. Life in heaven. Or life in hell, which is looked upon as death, because it is. But what determines that? The free will of man. Not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to a place of repentance. And you repent of your sin when you look to Jesus to forgive you of that sin. And when you look to Jesus and call upon him in his name, he forgives you and cleanses you of all that sin. And at that point, you become a child of God's. And as a child of God's, you have everlasting life. That has been set. And as soon as that happens, then you have a race to run. That's the starting line. There's a start to every race, and there's a finish line to every race. And God says we need to run the race as it has been set before us. Salvation is the first step. He goes on to say in verse 13, these things have I written unto you. Who's he writing to? That believe on the name of the Son of God. You've written to me for what purpose? That ye may know that ye have eternal life. That will not change. Based on a God who says, I am the Lord, I change not. He's not going to change his mind about your salvation. That's a peace that passeth all understanding. Yeah. That ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Don't get confused. Don't get sidetracked by predestination. No, you have a choice to make. He that has the Son, who chooses him, has everlasting life. That's been said. And if you, for some reason, have rejected him and you will not receive him, then that has been set. You do not have everlasting life. You have a place of hell in your future. So go back with me now, chapter 12 here, because that's the beginning of the race. And it's been set before us. What must we do to keep running in the race? Let us run. God says, I want you to, now that you're in the race, because you're saved, you've been placed in the race in the starting line, but now you're going to have continual decisions to make as you run that race. As you run that race, in order to keep running, he tells us what we need in order to keep running. Now, again, we find here he says, let us lay aside every weight and sin with so easy. I believe we do that, amen, to in preparing for the race. But now you're on the racetrack. You are prepared in the racetrack. He says, what do I need to continue to run that race? And the first thing that he mentions here is run with patience. The race that is set before us. Run with patience. That word patience there is steadfastness. Perseverance. Endurance. For most, our physical lives after salvation is a marathon. Not for all. For all, it might be a sprint. I've led people to the Lord on their deathbed. I've led people to the Lord that died just days after. They didn't have much of a race to run. But God still used that life somehow, some way. If they got saved, and God, because they was placed on the starting line, and their race that was set before them was a sprint. Children, before they reach the age of accountability, sometimes their race is a sprint. And really, they don't even make decisions. It's God just used that life. And yet, I have known of many children that have passed away. I lost a two-year-old niece in whom my youngest daughter was named after, Cherie. And I was very close to this two-year-old niece named Cherie. Impacted my life. It impacted her mom's, my sister's life, and her husband's life, who got saved and have been serving the Lord ever since. Impacted her older sister, Dawn McNair. You might know Dawn. Impacted her life to surrender her life to full-time ministry, all because of the death of a two-year-old little girl. She had a sprint, only 2 years of life, and really didn't make decisions. She was under the age of accountability, but God used the race that she ran. But most, you have a marathon. Most get saved, they have the rest of their lives ahead of them to run this race until they cross the finish line, which is death. Physical death, their life on this earth is over. Hebrews chapter 10, look back with me just a page to verse 35. He says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Need confidence in the race. I'm going to finish the race. I'm going to run the race as God wants me to run it. And I'm going to finish the race. I'm going to accomplish what God, that says confidence. For ye have need of patience. Same thing we find in chapter 12. Going to run the race, you need to have run it with patience. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. The promise is the finish line, everlasting life. That finish line is seeing Jesus. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry, which will be the finish line for all that are alive. That's the rapture of the church. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You could draw back from running the race as a believer. How is that possible? Because you still have a free will. There have been many that have fallen out of the race, and they never accomplish what God wants them to accomplish, and many times God will take them home at some point before they would ever get to the end or the finish line that God had purposed for their life. But because they chose not to stay in the race, then these certain things happened. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Paul said we need to not draw back, but we need to keep going. Run with patience. A marathon. I've had several people call me this week. I said, "Preacher, just wanted to let you know we're so thankful that a year ago that God spared your life. Been one full year since I died." I died. In my death, can I tell you, it was a great experience. One of the highlights of my life. Never been as close to God as I was when I died. Never sensed the peace like I did when I died. Matter of fact, I thought my race was over. And I was good with it. But God wanted me to face COVID. Yeah. My race wasn't over. That was just part of my race. My race was set before me. If it had been over a year ago, and as I died, God worked and the circumstances brought me back to life, all the different things, won't go into that again. But the idea there, that could have been the end of my race. I would have said, praise God, I felt like that I've accomplished what God had me here. If God would have taken me home last year, I felt like that God would have accomplished, I would have accomplished, and I would have finished my race. I had the peace about meeting God face to face. But when he didn't take me home, my race, I was still in the race. I was still running. It was not a time to back out of the race. It's a time to keep running. After 55 years as a Christian, 40 years of full-time ministry, my race is not over yet. I've preached several messages since that time. I've witnessed for Christ so many times. I believe I've accomplished a lot of things in just the last year. It's part of the race. COVID, however it's affected you, it's a part of the race. COVID, however it's affected the Lighthouse Baptist Church, and there's no doubt it's impacted the world, but it's impacted this church, it's impacted our members' lives, it continues to impact our lives, but can I tell you that it's been set, God knew that it would be here, and it's part of the race. I don't know if it's a hurdle. I don't know what's on the racetrack. I mean, COVID's on the racetrack. Yeah. But we need to keep running. Yeah. I mean, face the what's on the track. Whether it's a mud pit you have to go through, whether it's something you got to climb over, Whether it's something you got to jump, whether it's something got to run faster, it's part of the track, it's part of the race. Whatever happens in our lives, as we are born again, as we know that we're saved, the race has been set. What has not been set is the decisions that we'll make in running the race. Don't draw back. Have patience. Last 4 or 5 months, we've had to have a lot of patience. Yeah. But have patience. Keep running. Race isn't over yet. It's not over yet. Keep running. He says to us in chapters 12 again, I'm getting ready to close here, so follow, help me, stay with me here. First of all, run with patience. But then he says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus. In verse 3, he says, for consider him. So when it comes to the race that is being run, we have an example of somebody that won the race. Somebody that we look to that understands the race. Look to and consider Jesus. He endured. The Bible says that he endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Contradictions of sinners against himself. When he first came, he was loved. When he first came, because the Jews looked to him as the Messiah, they loved him. They wanted to make him a king. But it didn't take long before that love turned into hate. Now, was he going to run differently because the people loved him? If you run differently because of somebody else's love for you, then you'll run differently when they stop loving you. Your race is not dependent upon somebody else's love or hatred of you. It's depending on God's will for your life. The people loved him, he was the same. The people then hated him, he was the same. Matter of fact, they chose Barabbas over Jesus Christ. They chose a murderer and a thief to set him free, and they wanted Christ crucified. Wow. That would mess with your mind, your thinking. Is this race worth running? Should I stay in the race? Shouldn't be dependent upon other people. He endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Yeah. You look to Jesus, consider what he did. He kept running. You look to witnesses. I love that because he says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run. The witnesses are all the Old Testament believers who finished their race that are now witnessing what's taken place after their race, but they're witnessing what's going on earth from a heavenly grandstand. Because to be absent from the body, when the physical body dies, our physical life on this earth is over, but the spirit of the believer goes immediately to be with the Lord. And we make up that heavenly grandstand that you've heard me preach about often, I'm sure. All of them before Calvary and after Calvary. We just added another to the heavenly grandstands, Scott Hunt. I preached his funeral on Friday. Died of a heart attack. He was 54. I'm thinking, could have been the end of my race. But God says, not the end of your race. It was the end of Scott's race. He was here in this church for about a year, preparing him to get back on the track and to complete the race that God had for him to run. God used this church to help get him back on the track and complete the race that God had for him to run. And after that year, his finish line was over, his race was over, and he was added to the witnesses. And him, like a lot of others over the last 40 years that I have seen pass on and finish their race, they're in that heavenly grandstand. I think we need to consider them when we consider dropping out. I think we need to consider them when we keep running. The Bible gives that insight to us. Keep running. Considering Jesus, considering witnesses. Keep our minds focused. In closing, that's what he said. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against itself, lest ye. That's everyone that's running in their generation. That's everyone that's running in this 21st century. That's every one of us that is going through COVID. It's every one of us that are facing the battles that we're facing right now. It's part of the race. It's part of your race that God set before you. Lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Before we give up on the track, we'll give up on the mind. We'll give up mentally. If you give up mentally, you'll give up physically. Don't give up mentally. Keep your mind in the race. Keep your mind focused on the finish line. My finish line could have been last year. It wasn't. So I'm just going to keep running until the finish line appears. My daughter told me, Sheree told me, I could not be saying that I wanted to go to heaven anymore. I needed to stay focused on living. She was the one that called me and reminded me it had been a full year. Yeah. And my mind's focused on the finish line. I don't know how much longer that'll be. I trust it'll be in the rapture and we'll all go together. That'd be all right with me. I'll vote for that. Yeah. But if not, I'm not going to let my mind get weary and faint and withdraw from the race. Have a premature finish line. Yeah. So don't be distracted by temptations or defeated by trials. It's part of the race. Stay focused on the finish line and keep running. Amen? Keep running until God says you've crossed the finish line. And you'll be able to see Jesus and he'll be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I could have every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Our race is set. On this race after salvation, can I tell you there's a lot of blessings. There's a lot of joy. There's a lot of accomplishments. There's a lot of victories. In the midst of all these things, yes, there's going to be some temptations we got to stay away from, and there's going to be some trials we have to get through. But when we finish the race, we'll look back and say it was all worth it to accomplish what God had you here to accomplish and to have that everlasting life to look forward to. We'll look back and say, it's worth it. Keep running. Keep running. Father, we bow before you this morning. We love you. Thank you for the truth of Hebrews in chapter 12. And Lord, as you have set before us the race that you would have us individually and collectively as a church to run, help us to keep running. Strengthen our minds, strengthen our hearts, strengthen our bodies to accomplish all that you have us to accomplish in the race. Bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.